This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to Jax
and Dean
on our podcast.
This is our podcast.
It is our. I've just said that, Dean.
This is our podcast.
Oh, it's still our podcast now. That's cute.
Cute.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Play the podcast, please.
It's not J Law. It's not J Lo. It's Joy Law.
It's Olivia Benson Fan Club. It is time for Joy Law. And joining us in the studio are the team from KHQ Lawyers. Today we've got Monica and we've got Bonnie. Welcome.
Thank you.
Nice to be back.
Lovely to have you back. Now today we're going to talk about how to stay away from court.
Yeah, we thought we'd talk to you today about alternatives to litigation and right. In particular mediation and dispute resolution.
But I want my day in court.
Let me just ask the dumb question here. I know you've been coming on for a while, but what is litigation again? Is that just going to court?
It essentially is. It's when you issue proceedings in a court and then you start off going through that process. And that's what we want to try and talk about avoiding today, is not having to go down that path.
Excellent. Yeah. Dumb person question answered.
Oh, no such thing as a dumb question.
No.
So I was going to start off with sort of talking about the reasons why you would and you really should want to avoid attending our court system, and in particular the family law court system. Mm-hmm. So you may have heard that there's currently a parliamentary inquiry into the family law system, but having worked in this system for over 20 years, I'm showing my age now, I can give you some hints as to some of the problems that we face really on a regular basis. The first issue is there's just not enough judges to determine cases, and that means that there are significant court delays. So people are sometimes waiting 2 years to have their family court case determined on a final basis. And that's really life-changing.
I think I could be a judge. I could be very judgy. I look good in black. What about the wig? Do you wear a wig? Does the judge wear a wig?
Yeah, not in the family court, but in other courts. In other courts.
If it didn't involve studying, I could judge. Totally. You are wrong.
You're so wrong.
And then I'd be really sassy about it. Anyway, that's not the point.
Anyway,
though.
So the other reason you might want to avoid it is it's just expensive. So We have clients who spend, you know, a few thousand dollars and we can resolve it very quickly within the litigation process. But we have other clients who have been charged hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees.
Wow.
So that's a really good reason to want to avoid going to court.
And they may not have won, yeah?
That's right. Sometimes you don't win. We often joke with our clients and say that really no one's a winner in the family court.
A good decision, that's not funny at all.
A good decision is when both parties sort of walk out feeling, okay, I'm okay with this result, but you're not overwhelmed.
Yeah.
We are talking about homes and families and children and parenting arrangements.
And
so
quite emotional.
That's right.
And it's not a quick process either. It could go for years.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
So typically up to 2 years. So the other reason is the court process is just unpredictable. So for many, that's the real incentive, having control over the outcome and over your lives and over your, you know, the time you spend with your children and the amount of assets you walk away with. That's a really big incentive to stay away from the court process, because once you go before a judge, you just don't know. You can't predict. We can guide clients. We can give them an idea of what the possible outcome can be, but we can't guarantee it.
So what might be the alternatives?
Yeah, so we always look at court as an absolute last resort, or where something is really urgent. So there may be opportunities where you do need to go to court. For example, you know, if a child's abducted, you need to try and get them back quickly. You may have no financial support, so you may need to issue an urgent application for maintenance. Or you might just have no other options available. You've exhausted all the other options. The other side's not agreeable to, you know, what you might have offered them. Or there might be some kind of time limit you need to get over and get straight into court. So the first option outside of the court system is negotiations. And that's something that we do mostly every day. And that's, you know, writing to the other side with offers or writing to the other lawyers with offers. We might attend a conference between the lawyers and the clients to try and sit down all together and negotiate an outcome. And that's a really good way to resolve a case and avoid those delays with the court process.
So the next thing I wanted to talk about was mediation. So most people have heard about mediation, I think. So mediation, Christina and I are both trained mediators. Uh-huh. So we do offer that service at our firm. But mediation is a really key way to try and resolve a dispute, really of any kind, whether it's family law related or otherwise. So mediation can be taken with a private mediator or through a community organisation. So there's lots of organisations that offer means-tested mediation that could include LifeWorks or Relationships Australia and places like that. So the idea of mediation is that you have the mediator who's acting as a neutral party to facilitate discussions. And their aim really is to find some common ground.
So with things like mediation and negotiation, are they still, do they still end up legally binding in the end? Like, or do you still have to put something through a court of law in order to get that stamp that says, yes, this is the law?
If you're talking to us, we will say you absolutely need to legally document any agreement. So yeah. Whether it's a parenting arrangement, whether it's a property settlement, because if you don't, then it's not technically enforceable.
Yeah. So if you've got all the paperwork and stuff, does that paperwork have to go through a court, or as lawyers, you have the authority to say this is legally binding now?
There's a few options. So one option is if you go through mediation and you come to agreement, let's say as to a property settlement, we can document them as if it's court orders and then basically lodge it with the court administratively. And that's without anyone actually having to attend court. We can actually do it online via a court portal, and then it's approved by the court and returned as if it's an order of the court. So that's one option. The second option is a binding financial agreement. So that's a private agreement that lawyers can document. And you'd really only do that in certain circumstances. You don't do it on parenting, you only do it on property.
Yep.
Property and maintenance are the main ways that we do that. Or we can also do child support agreements. And they're also private agreements that don't need court ratification.
Oh, thank you for clearing that one up.
That's all right. So I think mediation can be really an ideal way of resolving parenting matters, because the mediator can sort of sit there and go through the different proposals, can sort of come out of the mediation with the things that you've agreed upon. And if that is a final agreement, that's when you'd submit it to the lawyers to get documented. But also the mediator can be a really good resource for the parties moving forward. So if things change, you know, if you're negotiating arrangements for children and they're quite young, when they're a bit older, going back to mediation and sort of revisiting those is a really good thing to, again, avoid the costly litigation process.
Now, we are talking about how to avoid court. We've just talked about negotiation, we've talked about mediation. Next up, we're going to talk about arbitration and collaborative law. That sounds interesting. We're having a chat to the team from KHQ Lawyers in a little segment we like to call Joy Law, where we explore issues of a legal nature impacting the LGBTI community and its allies. And we're talking about ways to avoid court. Now, we've talked about mediation and we've talked about negotiation, but now we're going to talk about arbitration, all the shouldn'ts. Negotiation, meditation, mediation, not meditation, mediation, and arbitration. Oh, what is it? What does this mean? What is arbitration?
What is arbitration? Mm. All right. So one of the main differences between mediation and arbitration, yes, is that in mediation, there's no decision maker. So at the end of the day, there's no one who's going to stand there and say, all right, I've heard your respective positions, this is what's going to happen. But in arbitration, there is. So it's essentially an informal judicial process. So you're not going to court, but the parties engage a third party who will effectively hear their case and then provide a binding decision as to the outcome. And they act in a similar way to a judge, but it avoids that whole costly process.
So, Bonnie, is this becoming more common?
It is. It's gaining traction in Australia now. More and more people are trying to go down that path, and it's something that we can assist with. And it is really becoming a better form of dispute resolution if you really can't get parties to agree and you need that third party to come in and make a decision for them.
I like that of having an umpire.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Except that it's binding, and you don't have the same recourse as you do in a court system if you're not happy with the decision.
That's right.
But if Bonnie was to arbitrate for me, you'd make the right. You'd make a decision in my favour, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there you go. I want her to arbitrate for me.
So what you're saying is once this decision has been made, you can't then apply to have it, like, overruled?
Only in very limited circumstances.
Wow. Yeah. So it's almost more binding than going to court then.
It is. But what we're finding are judges who have retired are ideal arbitrators. So they've got the experience, they've got the authority. And so you find that they are amazing arbitrators, and people have confidence in that process when you have someone very experienced like that.
Now, the other avenue available is something called collaborative law.
Don't you love that? I'm really passionate about collaborative law. I've been doing it for a number of years, and it's actually something that's gained a lot of traction in Europe and America, particularly in family law. But you do actually have to be specifically trained to be a collaborative lawyer. So what it is, it's basically a process where the parties and their lawyers agree to negotiate the dispute by really with a team approach. So all the advice is given openly to your client in front of the other party and their lawyer.
Full disclosure.
And so it all takes place by way of what we call a four-way team meeting, and there are minutes taken and they're approved at the start of each meeting. And basically what it requires is all four parties effectively invest in the process. And what that means is they sign a contract which sets out a code of conduct, and that is obviously you need to be honest and transparent about your financial circumstances. But also, everyone's got something to lose if it falls apart. So what the contract will say is that if we can't resolve the dispute through this process, then the lawyers actually have to disengage from the client. And the clients, if they need to go ahead to another process to resolve the matter, have to engage new lawyers. So it's actually a really, I think it's a great way to sort of take the armour off, is sort of how I describe collaborative law. And you sort of go in with an interest-based sort of negotiation approach. And what that means is clients are more likely to have a relationship walking out of that process. You can also involve third parties such as psychologists or accountants or valuers to assist in that process. And the lawyers, obviously, because we're doing the negotiations, we then draft the settlement documents if the matter does resolve. So I've had clients sort of drive into a collaboration together and give each other a kiss at the end and walk out together as friends. And, you know, for me, it's a really good feel-good way of resolving a dispute. It's not great for all cases, though.
So I'm a little bit confused as to what then the difference between that and the negotiation is, because your negotiation still involves both parties and their lawyers.
The contract and the process. So if we're negotiating, we will meet with our client beforehand, we'll strategize, we'll work out what their what their bottom line is, we'll work out a strategy about how we're going to get more than that for them.
So you can, like, slip things under the carpet.
We don't do that, but we...
You might say that, but they would not say that.
Okay.
But we do a bit of a negotiation dance to get our client the best outcome. In collaborative law, there's none of that. You are giving the legal advice in front of the other party. So there's nothing to hide. So it's very, very different. Yeah.
So this is another way to avoid a day in court is to do collaborative law. So what are the advantages of, just quickly, the advantages of dispute resolution generally?
Yeah, so really it's having control over the process. You haven't got someone coming in making a decision that's out of your hands. You can really have some input into that overall decision. It's more efficient, it's more cost-effective than being involved in protracted litigation. And most importantly, it can really preserve the relationship between your ex-partner or the family members and help parties disengage as partners and then re-engage as parents for their kids. So it's a really useful...
Which is kind of nice. Given the difficult circumstances, it's nice to have that longer-term view.
That's right.
Thank you so much for your time, Monica and Bonnie from KXQ Lawyers. We look forward to meeting with you again next week.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.